is the UNC Coaches Show, presented by Bank of Colorado, on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Here's Mike Rice.
Welcome in. We are at the GOAT for the Tuesday UNC Coaches Show, presented by Bank of Colorado. Great to be back today, and great to talk some basketball. Second half of the show, we'll talk women's hoops with Associate Head Coach Camille Perkins, so we look forward to that. And men's head coach Steve Smiley here right now to start off the show, and we're going to have some giveaways throughout, so it's going to be a fun hour. Good to see you, Steve.
Well, I'm just looking at the giveaways. I'm excited. I'm excited for the giveaways.
It's good to see you, though. It's all about the swag.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, we got, like, Hydro Flask. We got T-shirts. Got
socks. We're going to give away some cozy keychains.
It's looking good. It's looking good.
It is looking good.
Yeah.
You know who's looking good is them UNC Bears.
The
last time out against – what was that, Saturday? I've lost track. Was that Saturday, right?
Saturday, yeah.
Yeah, it was – man, the days go by, don't they?
Great game, right?
It was. Beat Cal State Northridge.
Cal State Northridge, which, you know, they were 5-2 going into that game with some legitimate wins. I mean, right before they played us, they won at UOP, so at Pacific, which is a West Coast Conference team, same league as Gonzaga, St. Mary's. Those are not easy games to win,
right?
And they won it convincingly.
On the road.
On the road. Stanford, they lost to Stanford by single digits. So really a team that we knew was good coming in, and it was a game that, really, for all 40 minutes, just kind of back and forth. We finally caught him and got that lead that last, 2 minutes?
That's what it was. Yeah, so. Pretty much. Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys were trailing and scratching and clawing to get back in it. How much, and we've talked a little bit about this before this year. Do you enjoy the nail biters?
No.
Of course you'd rather blow someone out by 20.
No. Yeah, I think the games, when you're lucky enough to have the games where, you know, 10 minutes left, you're talking to your staff like, hey, can we get these other guys in? Mm. Those are good games because you know you've got them in the bag. And then there are so many kids, I would say probably on each team, there's 3, 4, 5 kids that just don't get enough playing time. And they've earned it. And they're probably good enough to play, but they're just not high enough on the pecking order. So those are great games. So I don't enjoy the nail biters. However, when you win the nail biters, I do enjoy watching those. But it's just when you lose those ones. We've had 5 games out of 8 that have gone right down to the buzzer.
Yeah.
That's a lot so far. So,
yeah.
But it's good.
4 of the last 5 decided by single digits.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I think the only one that wasn't, which would be Radford, that was a 1-point game with 3 minutes to go, and we had to get to the foul game. But that was a game that could have gone either way. So, yeah, since the CSU game, the last 5 games has been – So close. Win some, lose some. You wish you won them all. But, it's been stress levels up.
You said an interesting thing after the game on Saturday. You were honest enough to say it was a must win for your team. A lot of coaches won't admit to that.
Yeah, we rolled the dice, you know, after San Diego game. We were so, you know, to call a spade, we were so mad that we lost that game. And
yeah,
it was just one of those things where I thought we were substantially better than them. And we just couldn't make a shot. I thought our effort was great, so wasn't mad about that. But we just couldn't make enough plays. And, you know, we're up 28-25 with 40 seconds left in the first half, and you're like, we've held these guys to 25 points. And we end up going down, actually, 29-28 at halftime. So we were disappointed, as was the team. And we're like, look, like, we got to get this done here. You know, this is, you know, we're not going to be the coulda, woulda, shoulda team. That's just not the moral victory team. We're not going to be that. So I thought they did a good job of drawing that line in the sand and finding a way to get it done.
And the guys were focused. Mm. I mean, it was a close game. But Northridge, as you said before, they play a certain style. They play it well. They execute it. They're disciplined and they're talented. All of that.
They're all of that. You know, and they've got flaws in the sense, like, they don't really shoot it well. But it doesn't really matter because they know they don't shoot it well. And they play to their strengths. Like, their coach does a great job. You know, he's gotten their team to believe this is how we win. But if we do this, we won't win. And they're just really buying into what they're doing. So I was really impressed with Coach Newman and how they played.
UNC head coach Steve Smiley is with us on the Bank of Colorado UNC Coaches Show. We're live at the GOAT, 46th Avenue and Center Place. So, 4-4?
Yep.
And kind of in the middle of the pack of everything, not surprisingly, in the Big Sky pre-conference. I know you always want more wins.
Oh, yeah.
But are you... Is your team playing about how you thought it would be at this point?
Feel good about how we're playing it. Yeah, like the standings and records. I mean, you know, Eastern Washington's 1-7, and they're one of the best teams in the league. It's just that they've played 7 high-major teams. We all have to schedule a little differently based off of, do we need to go get bye games or get bought? Or, you know, there's just different things that, go into the non-conference. It's not equal. We don't have the same schedules. So it's really hard to evaluate until you get to league play. But, you know, keeping the focus on us, I feel like that we're in a good spot. I mean, honestly, I'd love it if we were 6-2 or even 7-1. I mean, we're up 16 at New Mexico State and lose, and then obviously that San Diego game. Like, we're two or three possessions away, honestly, from being like 7-1, which would be awesome. But, you know, at the end of the day, you got to play really good for three games in March. And so, just kind of, you know, evaluating where our team's at. We're also different because Jaron really came back three games ago.
That's right.
And we're a different team with him, and he's still trying to get his legs back and get used to the flow of things. So we're still a work in progress, but I do feel like we're starting to figure out who we are. We're starting to figure out our rotations. And one thing that's been consistent and solid all the way through is we've got a tough team, and that's been big.
I have noticed that, Steve. There seems to be just a genuinely, in a good way, kind of a nasty streak to this team.
So I had to leave practice a few minutes ago. We were going to go till 6, and since we don't play until Monday, we did some of our like real competitive stuff. Those are the best practices because, I mean, when you tell the guys, like, hey, we're going to finish with a 7-point game, they're like, oh, really? And it's just a really competitive thing. And so we have a team that naturally wants to compete. You don't have to pull it out of them. Sometimes we got to, like, pull them back a little bit because some of these guys are so physical that they'll get hurt in practice. And anytime you step on the court, you can get hurt. It doesn't matter. But we've got to be smart about how we line things out, knowing that intrinsically they want to compete. But I love it. I love coaching these guys. It's a great group.
Steve, do you also, along with that competitive nature, sort of the nasty streak, do you have to preach, be smart with that? No, yeah. I mean, don't get out of control with the emotions.
Well, what's been good with our team is, like, you know, we have some tough emotional players, but one thing they've done a good job is they're not fouling as much as I thought they would. You know, Saint being, you know, we just saw on Twitter or whatever that Saint just got the Big Sky Player of the Week again, which back-to-back weeks, which is, you know, really impressive. But that's how good I think he is. He's an emotional kid in a good way because he gets the team to play really hard. I thought he'd be a guy because he is so physical that he'd be in foul trouble all over the place, and he hasn't gotten in foul trouble one time. Brock Wisney, who's really tough physical, his foul rate has really dropped this year. And in that last game, we played 33 minutes. And he never was in foul trouble. So I think that they've done a good job of kind of, you know, keeping it within check and not doing dumb stuff. I was watching a game last night. It was the NBA in-season tournament. It was the Kings and the Pelicans. And the Kings are just crushing them in the first quarter, except they're fouling, like, every possession down. And the announcer's like, hey, if they just don't foul every time down, they'd be up 15-20. As it is, they were down, or they were up 2. At the end of the quarter, because they were just giving free points.
Yeah.
But our team's got an interesting knack to be physical and tough, but they haven't fouled much yet.
Yeah, I think it's been impressive. I really like the fact that, you know, your team's been down a little bit in some games, even the CSU game, where, you know, obviously CSU's turning out to be a pretty good basketball team. But your guys battle, and they're relentless in that respect.
They are. And I think that we have an older team. I think we have an experienced team. Now, we haven't gelled yet together all the way because we have a new team. But we have an experienced team, guys that have been, you know, through the fire a little bit at some different places and some guys here. And yeah, it's just a fun group to watch for sure.
So you mentioned St. Thomas. Before we get to a break, let's highlight him a little bit. Leading scorer, 17 a game, leading rebounder. In fact, he might still be leading the Big Sky in rebounding. Second now. 9.5. And he's up to, what, 3.5, 4, almost 4 assists per game. Can you predict that kind of impact right away when a guy transfers, as he did?
You know, we knew he was talented, really talented. And as we were going through practice with him, we're like, man, like, if this translates. And, yeah, he's second in the Big Sky in scoring. He's second in rebounding. He's fourth in assists. He's first in steals. And then
2 per game.
Yeah, and what doesn't show on there is we ask him to guard the best player on their team.
Yeah.
And, like, I met with him yesterday and just kind of went over some different stats and analytics and stuff. And I was like, he's, I think, right now, like, 45th in the country in minutes. And I'm like, hey, are we burning the candle too much? Do we need to get you more subs? And it's funny, when we met at the beginning of the year, he's like, you know, I think I'll probably play about 28 minutes a game because I don't think I can play as hard as I need to play for much more than that. He's at about 33, so, like, keeping him between, like, 32 and 36 is ideal. He starts pushing 37 to 40. He just plays too hard. So, and DeJure is like 75th in the country in a minute. So, like, those are really important conversations. Like, hey, do we need to get you one more break? so that you can play your best when it comes down to it. But no, Saints' impact has just been phenomenal, and some of it you can see, you know, in the stat sheet, but some of it's more like just watch, like, man, he's really impacting the game.
Yeah, no doubt. So he's at, as you said, 33 and a half minutes per game. Is that where you'd like to keep him, or is that a little high?
I mean, you know, like when we were talking, I feel like 32 to 36, you know, which probably fluctuates about 33, you know, yeah. Ultimately, yeah. Now, I don't want him at 26. Like, he needs to be on the court because he helps us win. And
that's right.
It's the same with Brock. You know, Brock's plus minus, Saints plus, their two plus minuses are through the roof. So you would be dumb as a coach to not have a guy that consistently has a great plus minus to never play him. So, yeah, no, I think his minutes are pretty good, but we have to monitor, especially like on the second night. Thursday, Saturday, like Saturday, maybe you need some more blows early on before, because we need you good at the end.
Steve Smiley is with us, Bears men's basketball coach. The Bears at Texas A&M Commerce after finals next Monday, mm-hmm. December the 11th. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back to the Bank of Colorado UNC Coaches Show live at the GOAT. We'll get some giveaways, so still time to drop on in, and we'll give away some UNC stuff here with Coach Steve. And we'll catch you guys on the other side right here on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. It's the Bank of Colorado UNC Coaches Show. We're live at the GOAT Sports Bar, 46th Avenue and Center Place. They've got all the specials. They got the TVs cranking up with college basketball. I'm impressed, Steve. You're focused here on the show, but you're watching the games at the same time.
Well, it's hard not to.
That's exactly right.
Know, plus minus right there. Look at that. Plus 8, minus 14. You know, That's a big stat right
there.
Is
that Steve Smiley is with us, UNC men's basketball coach. Is that one that you really like, the plus minus?
Actually, not. Like, not in a vacuum. I don't look at it after each game. I don't believe in it. The only thing I believe in with it is that if you put it into a spreadsheet, and we actually have our sports information director does it, he does a good job of it, is that over the course of time you can learn a lot. Because in a game with five players, if you're on the court with the wrong players, your plus minus is going to get decimated. Or if you're a bad player, but you're on the court with some good players, it might inflate your number. So I think in a one-game sample, it's a little dangerous. But when you look at over the course of 9, 10, 11 games, you're going to start to see some trends. Like, one trend we've seen is that I think Brock has our biggest plus minus by a landslide, and then Saints right behind him. And then I think it's DeJure after that. So you can learn some stuff in the big picture. Like, are we playing the right guys? That's not the only metric to use, but it's something that teaches you, you know, something.
We mentioned St. Thomas, Co-Big Sky Player of the Week again. Another guy, and you've mentioned him, DeJure or Day-Day Reeves. Yep. Steve, when he's on the floor, it's a different basketball team. He just solidifies everything.
Yeah, we're doing a lot of stuff where we're really trying to get him to score. Not trying, I mean, that's what he's wired to do. He averaged 23 games in junior college. But I guess more so freeing him up to score. One thing that's been great about Jaren really coming back is Jaren's a lot more of a pass-first distribute. They're both point guards. But DeJure's ability to score, especially in the open court, is really special. So he's done a good job, you know, so far, and he's really not even shooting it that well yet. His stats aren't great, especially from three. And so with that in mind, like, his confidence isn't shook at all. Like, he's going to have a couple big games soon here. His stats will go up. But you look at his free throws, you look at how he's shooting from two, everything's going pretty good. He's got a demeanor to him. He's got a calm demeanor to him, but he's a tough kid. He's an active defensive player. You know, when we recruited him and signed him, I didn't know, because he's not big, you know, is it going to compromise our defense? And it's gone the other way. Like, he makes our defense better because he is so tough.
Yeah, he's got 11 steals in eight games, so he's over one. And you're right, he's 27% from three-point range. He can be better than that.
Oh, yeah, he'll be a guy like to us. Like, and he's going to take a few tough ones because the ball is going to be in his hand late in the shot clock. But he's going to be a guy that will eventually get to 33, 35%, which is fine because it's not just about his three. But he's a better shooter than his stats, and he knows it.
What I love, too, is that, and I've noticed this a few times in various games, other team will score, maybe it'll be 4-point run, 6-point run, 8-2, whatever, and then all of a sudden, boom, he's down the floor, and it's a layup, and it's just such a quick hoop for you guys.
He's so fast, and that's one thing our team does, is that we'll play fast in transition, and everyone knows, whoever gets it, with the exception, I would say, of maybe Theo, anyone that gets it, I want them to dribble bust.
Yeah.
Now, dribble bust in the
So what does that mean?
It means get it, and you don't stop and slow down and past the point guard. Those 2 seconds, that's where transition grows.
So get it and go.
Get it and go. Now, Theo, get it, pass it. I don't want him to dribble bust, but Brock is Brock.
He's 7 feet tall.
Yeah, but Brock's allowed to dribble bust, and the only reason that works is if you have an unselfish team.
Yeah.
Because I still want, if someone's ahead, you better pass that thing. And so a guy like DeJure doesn't need to run back to the ball. He can run the other way if he doesn't get the rebound, and someone's going to find him, and then it just explodes.
Yeah, and he's smart with the basketball, Day-Day is.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, no, he understands it. He can score in a variety of ways. He can find other guys. He's just a really good basketball player.
Steve Smiley is with us, UNC men's basketball coach, the UNC Coaches Show live at the GOAT, 46th Avenue in Center Place. You mentioned Jaron Riley had the preseason elbow injury.
Yep.
He comes back, and he seems to have settled in fairly quickly. Is that how you've seen it?
Yeah, and I think he's actually frustrated about how he's played the last game or, you know, game and a half. He came back. He did not have one practice. He was cleared medically in Cancun. I did not play him the first game against Chicago State. We almost lost. And he was like, Coach, I'm ready to go. And we're like, look, I just don't know what this is going to look like. I'd rather, you know, get through this trip and get some practices in before San Diego. And we looked at Radford and we're like, look, to beat Radford, we feel like we need him. And he was medically cleared. And we talked to him and said, if we're going to play you, we're going to play you early on while you're still loose. And then we said, you know what, let's just rip the Band-Aid off and just start him. And we told him, and he was prepared for that, and he was awesome. That first 10 to 12 minutes of that Radford game, we're up 27, and everything was clicking as a team. And so you saw, like, what we can become. He had a great game. Now, his San Diego game was okay.
Yeah.
And he was disappointed, I think, probably in his game, you know, against Northridge. Just a little bit out of flow. But he's a guy that once he gets his legs back underneath him, gets a few more reps, he's going to have a huge impact on our team. So I can't wait to get to that point.
8 points, 4 assists per game in his first 3 games.
Yep. And that's after a month out.
That's exactly
like,
right.
With no practice.
Scratching the surface.
Yes.
I mean, so much more room for improvement.
He's going to be really good for us. I mean, he's a guy that's going to really push the envelope to lead the league in assists. And if he had enough sample size, I think he'd be second in assists. I think Saints fourth. So when you have two guys, they're not just score, but two guys that can pass – Brock, DeJure, Riley, Langston, Zach, like now those guys, they get good looks because we got two guys that can really see it.
Yeah, and the thing about, too, with Jaron is, I mean, he likes to pass. I mean,
that's what he's wired to do, yep.
Did you see that when
when
he was coming into the portal,
yes.
I guess?
But yeah, 1,000%. Like, that's who he is, and that's what, for us, what made him so attracted to us, like, hey, to get a guy that can just find everybody and keep everybody happy and use the ball screens, like, yeah, that was the whole goal.
So Jaron comes from Samford,
yep,
with an M.
Yep.
A Saint from Loyola Chicago.
Yep.
Day-Day from the JC ranks at Trinidad State.
Yep.
I mean, that's a little bit of a roll of the dice. So what made you and your staff feel like, you know, going that way to replace what we lost could be really effective?
Well, we thought it was the only way to do it. You know, we had 8 returners, you know, a lot of unproven guys with the exception of Riley and Brock, and to some degree Langston. But, you know, when you lose Matt Dalen to graduation, then when Dalton got in the portal, and even to some degree Caleb, because we thought he was going to be a good player, the path we felt like was not high school. Proven guys, old guys, experience, this and that. And so all those guys, including Marcel McCreary, Makai Cameron, who's starting to, you know, crack his way through the rotation. It was all in, like, we need to get older quick. And then still, with our 8 returners, you know, the hardest thing is melding all that together, but it's actually worked pretty good so far.
Yeah, have you been pretty pleased? You mentioned the other night that, you know, maybe still tinkering with the minutes in the rotation.
Oh, yeah. No, I think, you know, we'll continue to tinker with that, but I feel like a guy like Makai, a guy like Marcel, I think those guys honestly are good enough to play huge roles. We just have too many guys. You know, Juju didn't get in the last game, but Juju's proven he can play. We feel like we got 12 guys for like 9.5 spots, and so we got to keep messing with that. But I do think that from a competitive nature, our guys, they'll be ready to go when their number's called.
So do you think from what you've seen out of your club that you guys will be – How do I phrase this right? Competitive enough in the Big Sky, shall we put it that way?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think you know, our league, and again, like I said, I don't care about the preseason rankings. All that's based off of is what returning players are coming back. No one knows the transfers. You know, I mean, people would have looked at it today and said, wait a second, you know, Saint is, if not the most dominant, the second most dominant player in our entire league, you know, with Dylan Jones being 1A, I don't think we'd be ranked the same way that we were ranked before. And then you look, oh, wait a second, DeJour's the third leading scorer in the league. But those rankings aren't based. They're based off of, well, who's coming back? We did not have a lot of guys coming back.
You lost the big three.
Yeah. And so that was kind of going back to the recruiting side, what we need to do. But, no, I think our league's going to be really balanced. I think there's been a lot of good teams, a lot of good wins. I think it's going to be a bloodbath every night.
Yeah, I would think so, too. I think it's going to be competitive. Texas A&M Commerce next Monday down. It's northwest of Dallas is where the school is. Give us a – it's the Lions. I read an April Fool's joke that they changed their nickname like 3 years ago. It was an April Fool's joke.
Okay.
And it
okay.
was like they changed it to some tree, which was, at first I'm like, what are they doing? And then I get to the end with, okay. But they are the Lions.
Okay.
What do you know about them?
Well, it's the second year of a two-year contract or two-year series. We played him last year. So Coach Von Rosenberg, last year was his first year. He does a great job. Coaches the kids hard. They play really hard. Last year we beat him. We were actually up 20-0 and beat him at the very end. And on that same trip, they won at Air Force. They finished about like fifth in their league, which is, again, is really impressive. It's a school that's just moved up from D2 to D1. And so, you know, he's been there, so to rephrase, he's been there, but first year as a Division I program last year. So now he's got a lot of returners. You know, they've been up and down so far this year. They've had a really hard schedule. It's Kentucky, Texas A&M, like just they've played everybody.
Yeah, Tech, SMU, they'll play TCU, A&M, yeah.
But, you know, one game that is extremely impressive when they beat St. Joseph's, at St. Joseph's, which that's a top 100 team in the country. And so you look at kind of what they can get to. They can get it to a pretty high level. But, you know, they've struggled at times. I think the big thing is they've struggled to score. They are going to guard you like their, you know, life is on it's on the line. And so I think that they'll kind of be like Northridge, like you're going to play a tough team, physical team, a team that struggles to score. The Kalen Williams kid was there last year. He's their second leading scorer, but he's probably their most talented player. We'll have to do a good job on him as a team. But I think for us, like I think we're going to get good shots. And at some point in time, I truly believe we're going to start knocking shots down. And, you know, so that's the biggest thing. But, you know, you have to go in there. You got to go and you have to fight them. Yeah. And it's an 11 a.m. game. It's a kids' elementary school game. So it'll be like thousands of little kids in there screaming and stuff.
That's 11 a.m. Central time.
Yeah.
10 a.m. here.
Yep. And I think the thing which is great about that is I'd rather have it that way at 11 a.m. because those kids coming, they don't even know who they're cheering for. They just want to see people make shots. And so just to have a great juice in the gym will be great. And it's going to be a great challenge, though.
Yeah, it should be fun. We look forward to it.
Sounds
all the best.
Good.
Thanks for coming down.
Okay, thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
That's UNC
right.
Men's Basketball Coach Steve Smiley with us here at the GOAT on the Bank of Colorado Coaches Show. Steve is going to stick around for another couple minutes and do some more giveaways. We'll talk to Women's Associate Head Coach Camille Perkins coming up next right here on 103.1 and 1310 KFKN. We are at the GOAT for the Bank of Colorado UNC Coaches Show. 46th Avenue and Center Place. Great drink specials. Terrific food. Andrew and his staff cooking it up terrific. And they've got the games on as well. So come on down and enjoy the atmosphere. We will be here till 7, and we'll have one more giveaway in about 10 minutes. We're going to talk some women's basketball. Associate Coach Camille Perkins with us. Good to see you.
Thank you for having me, Mike.
Absolutely. So... Well, I mean, sometimes coaches have to talk about being on the wrong end of a blowout. You guys handled your business against Northern New Mexico. I don't want to embarrass them, but it was in the 90s to in the 30s. You guys played pretty well, fair to say?
Yeah, I think we played pretty well. I mean, obviously, it's nice to have those games. It's kind of funny. Coach Smiley and I passed in the hallway, and we were like, oh, he was like, I wish I was playing Northern New Mexico as they were playing Northridge. But, you know, it just allows your team to gain some confidence. You know, we've played a couple of tough teams, veteran teams, and so just allowing our players to continue to get used to the system, both offensively and defensively. It's nice to have that, and you're going against somebody else. So I would say we definitely took care of our business as we should have.
Yeah, and coaches, as Steve was saying, you like to try and get everybody minutes when possible. And yeah, I would imagine you were able to do that against Northern.
Yeah, we definitely were able to let all the young ladies play, which is nice, and limit some of the players that play extended minutes for us, you know, just trying to keep those at a minimum as we, you know, get ready for conference. And
yeah,
stuff like that.
And that came after home losses to North Dakota State and Boston. So was it a case where no matter who you're playing, we just got to get back in the win column?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Boston, they were a team. They were 24-9 last year, you know, lost in their conference championship, returned most of their players. Very solid team. They played a unique style, just really trying to pound it in the paint. But they were probably one of the biggest teams as far as height-wise that we'll see. Just really proposed an issue for us inside. But, you know, I thought we played well. We had the lead there right before half, and just a couple mishaps is that, you know, with a team like that, they're very veteran, and they just understand how to control the tempo. And so that was something, you know, that we talked to our team about leading up to the Northern New Mexico game.
3-3 record. You like how the Bears are playing right now?
You know, I think right now we're still trying to figure out some rotations, still trying to see some of the new ones getting acclimated to our system. And, you know, I think the Northern New Mexico gives us some confidence going into the Air Force game. And so I think as we continue to kind of see as they're continuing to gel together, will allow us, you know, to see the rotations and stuff like that.
This is a tough stretch for you gals. Saturday at Air Force, that starts a run of five straight on the road. Utah State, CU at Northern Arizona to open conference on the 30th, and then Wednesday, January 3rd at Oral Roberts. That's a tough stretch.
Yeah, I, you know, obviously all the in-state games, rivals, you know, especially our Colorado kids, that's something, you know, they get excited for. But, yeah, we'll start at Air Force, very physical, tough team. So, you know, we've been working, we started our prep for them today, and then, you know, we'll go up to Logan, to Utah State, and then obviously at, you know, Colorado, number 8 team right now in the country, and then take a little break and get ready for conference. So
what are some of the messages you and Coach Mateo like to try to preach when you're going on the road? How different is it?
You know, I've worked with Coach for 10 years,
yeah.
And, you know, she always just approaches it as this is a business trip, you know, making sure that we understand, you know, the reason why we're going. And, you know, another thing is that it's kind of cool as a college athlete, you get to travel to all the different locations. So, you know, just, you know, making sure they understand that it's like an opportunity and a privilege, and not a lot of players get to do that. So just making sure that we're, you know, taking advantage of our opportunities as we do go on the road.
Yeah, and just for just a sort of a non-basketball part of traveling, they're quick trips, obviously.
Absolutely.
when you're in and out. But how do the players balance the academic portion? Do some of them study?
We're in finals this week.
Well, that's
so
true.
That stretch,
yeah,
right there, we
that's
won't
true.
Be in anything.
So it's all basketball.
It's all basketball. We're living a pro life.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's nice for us as coaches because they can solely, you know, focus on, you know, the team and stuff. But, yes, when we do have school, we, you know, implement academic time and study hall and stuff like that.
So when finals are over, can you notice the players being relieved?
Yeah, I mean, they can sleep till whenever,
practice starts.
And maybe an hour before, and yep. Then it's like a whole different like energy and vibe because they're not having to go do study hall, they're not having to go do some type of test. It's just a different energy, I think. So,
yeah.
And I also, when they go home and come back from Christmas, it's like they get that extra juice from like home cooked meals or something like that, mm-hmm. too. So, yeah, I think it's, you can definitely tell a difference.
Third year for you and Coach here in Greeley. Do you feel like it's starting to feel, it takes time to settle in. I mean, it takes time to see what you have in a program, go through the first year, and then figure out, okay, what do we need? Do you feel like, okay, we're starting to settle in a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, last year we were very young.
Yeah.
We had 8 freshmen. And most of the core that played returned. And so, you know, the biggest thing in building a program is, you know, a sustained roster and having people in, you know, your system. And by the time they're juniors, it's like they know it with their eyes closed. And so that's, you know, the biggest thing that we've tried to make sure that, you know, we knew we were young last year. We added some older pieces, but with the experience that the younger ones got last year, you know, we feel like we're in a pretty good spot, you know, moving forward.
You mentioned adding pieces. So much attention in college football, men's basketball, and the transfer portal. Same for women's basketball?
Right. Yeah, I mean, I would say we might be third on the totem pole in that. Not that, you know, you just read more about football, just probably more because of the, you know, the money side of it. But, yeah, we definitely have, you know, some players that have come in from different programs that are helping us out right now.
Yeah, Delaney Byrne is one who's kind of back home playing, but and she was here last year. But she bounced around a little bit. Do you feel like, I mean, to have her come back and be the contributor that she is has to feel good.
Yeah, Delaney is, you know, obviously one of our key players, and she's having a great season right now. She's really, really, and I don't want to jinx her, but shooting the ball at extremely high percentages right now, especially from the three-point line. But, you know, one thing that I'll say about Delaney is that her overall leadership, she kind of is very quiet, but her overall leadership the past couple of years has really grown and developed, and it's allowed, you know, I feel like her game to grow and develop in different ways.
18.5 points, 8-plus rebounds per game. Could she be better than that?
We keep challenging her with the rebounding because she kind of sits around that eight rebounds a game mark, and it's kind of been her, like, staple. So we're like, well, why can't you get two more, you know? So we just kind of been pushing her a little bit. But, I mean, 18-8, that's pretty solid. I don't know how much more. You know, she gives us her heart and soul every single game, and that's all we can ask from her.
Yeah, what's amazing, she shoots 55% from the field, and right now she's at 51.5% from three-point range. Where would you and coach like to use her more? I mean, is she a true inside player?
I mean, we've kind of forced her to do that. We did that a little bit more last year. But we kind of swing her everywhere. We could play her inside. We can play her out. She's obviously 6'3". So she creates quite a bit of a mismatch. Depends, you know, who she's playing against. Say if she's at the four spot and that player is, you know, maybe a little more post-like, we can actually run her off screens, which allows her to get looks. And, you know, if she has a smaller defender on her, we can also post her up. So we utilize her in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, I mean, Coach, she's 18 of 35 from three-point range. Again, no jinx. Hopefully she can. I mean, is she capable of sustaining that?
Oh, yes, 100%. Sometimes we think she shoots better from the three than she does inside. I mean, she just she works so hard. Her and Hannah both, and they can really, really shoot it. You know, the challenge for us will be how do we continue to get them looks? And that's one thing we've been talking to our players about is just making sure that we're finding our shooters, because some of them shoot better from the three than they do from, you know, inside the paint, which is, you know, crazy. But threes beat twos. That's what Coach always says.
Yeah, they sure do.
Yeah.
UNC Women's Associate Coach Camille Perkins is with us. We're live at the GOAT on the UNC Coaches Show. Given your druthers, and like you said, you've been with Coach Mateo for a decade now. Given your druthers from a style standpoint, would you rather have a team that shoots a little bit more from the outside? Do you try for that up-tempo style? What do you like to try to do if you can dictate it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously with the threes, you know, you got to make sure. We always preach inside out. So even if that's off of the dribble, someone's getting inside out, forcing a rotation, then kicking it out. Or if we're throwing it into the paint and they're kicking it out too. But, I mean, with the players, especially Delaney and Hannah, with the percentages that they shoot from the three, I mean, obviously our goal is to get them looks and, you know, make sure that we are continuing to find them, you know, throughout the game as obviously the defense kind of sets in on them.
Yeah, you mentioned Hannah Simmental, 15 of 35. So she's at 43% is all. I mean, she's slacking off on you.
I know. Hannah actually, you know, she's been in the top in the country or in the country in her three-point field goal percentage. And then preseason, Big Sky All-Conference, and just a wonderful, wonderful kid, wonderful player. Again, another one that just works extremely hard. But, yeah, I think she shoots better, almost better from the three than she does from the inside the paint. And I think she would tell you she'd rather shoot the three than the a layup. So.
Do those two have a green light, and I'm talking about Byrne and Simmental, to shoot a three pretty much any time?
Pretty much any time.
And you and Coach Mateo trust them enough to take the good shot?
Yeah, and they know. I mean, one thing I think that we're still trying to figure out, like, as a team is, you know, what's a good shot for you as an individual and what's a good shot for, you know, our team. And obviously with those two, I mean, they can pretty much get it going. And that's, I think there was one game they one hit six, one hit five. I mean, that's pretty, that's, you know, you can't really ask for much else. But, you know, then we have the other ones that, you know, we have capable shooters that can make two or three. And so just once they all get on the same page, I think, you know, we'll like it even more what we see.
Camille Perkins is our guest, UNC Women's Associate Head Coach. We'll take a timeout. We are at the GOAT. Coach Perkins is going to give away a shirt and a keychain.
Oh.
We'll be back for one final segment on the Bank of Colorado UNC Coaches Show in a moment on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Final few minutes of the Bank of Colorado UNC Coaches Show. Glad you are with us. Make your plans. We're here every Tuesday night from 6 to 7 at the GOAT Sports Bar, 46th Avenue and Center Place. Always a great place to hang out, get a bite to eat, have a nice adult beverage or a Diet Coke if you, or Diet Pepsi. There you go, Terry. You know, we're talking here. Terry, a friend of ours, is here and talking about the time coaches put in. You referenced, as we are with Camille Perkins, I forgot, the UNC associate head coach. You mentioned Air Force will be your next opponent next Saturday, December 9th. The kids have the week off for finals. But you coaches, I mean, Coach Mateo's out recruiting tonight,
right,
which is why she's not here. So what is your guys' week like as you sort of, you know, prepare for Air Force? Take us through the next few days and how you'll get ready.
Yeah, so obviously we played Northern New Mexico on Sunday, and there's three assistants, and, you know, we kind of have our scouts broken up. But as soon as our game is over against Northern New Mexico, the coach that's in charge of the Air Force scout, you know, that is available to our kids, more personnel-based to start the week. And, you know, the biggest thing is just watching games. I think they're actually playing – they started at 6:30 tonight. So just, you know, staying up with game film and stuff like that. But it's just a constant, you can watch the game film, but what is the strategy? What are we, you know, going to do? How are we going to beat them? What are they going to do to us? So there's just a lot of questions, you know, that have to be answered throughout the week to make sure that we're preparing our team, you know, in order to have success on Saturday.
Right. And so your point is a good one. The scouting report for your next game next Saturday is already done.
Right, yes.
So typically how far in advance do you guys try and work on those?
So, for example, I have the Colorado scout. And
lucky you.
Yeah, I've started on that already because they're so really – they're really, really good. But usually, you know, you work maybe like 2 weeks in advance. And, you know, sometimes throughout the week we won't tell the team – but maybe we're practicing, you know, Utah State runs a 3-2 zone. So somehow we're going to make sure within the next 2 weeks that we are at least implementing some, you know, our offense against a 3-2 zone. So once we get to that week, they've already been exposed to it. So then now it's just kind of retaining that information that we gave them. And then now we can kind of continue on with our prep.
UNC Associate Women's Basketball Coach Camille Perkins is our guest. Do you enjoy the grind of that? That sort of it's you're doing the CU scout, as you said, and then you'll have another scout coming up as that draws closer. Does it ever just get overwhelming?
No, I really like the work behind it. I think that's kind of what drives me. Just watching film, strategizing, trying to figure out, you know, different ways that we can make sure that our team is prepared, trying to think outside the box a little bit. And so, which is another reason why I like to start. I like to feel prepared. So I want to start early. So, you know, there's nothing that maybe I haven't seen, you know, when we get to that point.
How do you balance playing to your strengths and yet wanting, I mean, and not overwhelming your players with, okay, well, Air Force is going to run these five plays and this, because, I mean, I've been through walkthroughs, I mean, two walkthroughs, for, and it's like, how do players retain? Sometimes it's overkill. How do you balance that?
Yeah, I would say, I don't know if I've mastered that, because I want to give them all the information.
Right.
But, you know, we try to, like, just keep it to 25, 30 minutes, and that's with the film and the actual, like, paper scout. And, you know, you just have to give them tendencies. Okay, this player is going to do this, or, you know, when they get into this set, this is really what they're looking for. For example, you know, Boston, North Dakota State, they all want to work through the paint, and everything that they run offensively is going to get the look back into the paint. Don't worry so much about what they're running, just the overall concept of how they're trying to score. And so that's really what we try to, you know, teach our players, is don't, you know, just really try to understand how they're trying to do and why they're doing it.
Do you have a lot of players who are film junkies that just love analyzing and watching and breaking it down?
Yeah, and I think the older they get, they kind of understand the value of film, just because it helps them, you know, see maybe how. For example, Hannah and Delaney, they're in my office every week. Gabby Fields is another one. You know, she's in my office actually today. We watched all her defensive clips, and then we watched Air Force and just how they're going to guard. You know, those three, and, you know, there's many others as well. But, yeah, I think they understand the value the older they get.
And that has to be gratifying as a coach when you see players that are hungry to get better and willing to put in the time and the effort when people aren't looking.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's, you know, it kind of makes you smile, just as, you know, maybe that you watch something with them and then they kind of go and do it on the court just because of something that they saw or something, you know. So those are all things that, you know, as a coach, it's definitely like satisfying to see, you know, the hard work paying off for those kids.
I know you didn't have the Air Force scout, but can you share much about what
you
know about
absolutely,
the Falcons?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I do a lot of our defense, so
right.
I still, even if it's not my scout, I have to make sure that I understand kind of what they're doing. But Air Force, very physical team, very tough team. They're going to press us, run and jump. They are young. They have, I think, seven freshmen. Return a couple kids from last year when they had a pretty solid year. They have some injuries as well. But it'll be a battle. I mean, they lost to Colorado 74-58 last Saturday. So, and it was a close game all throughout.
I should have looked. Is Chris Gobrek still the coach?
She is, uh-huh.
It's a legend right there. Yeah. See Washington,
tough.
Yale.
Yeah.
She's a heck of a coach.
Yeah.
You like going up against sort of those kind of staffs?
Yeah, absolutely. I like it. I mean, it just kind of, you know, obviously she's seen probably everything you can imagine. And, you know, so there'll be adjustments throughout the game. And so, you know, that's what makes basketball fun, right?
Coach, it is great to visit with you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank
we
you,
appreciate
Mike.
It.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, that's Camille Perkins, the UNC Women's Basketball Associate Head Coach. Good to catch up with men's coach Steve Smiley. Thanks for being with us in person. Thanks for being with us on the air. It is the Bank of Colorado UNC Coaches Show. We're live every Tuesday from 6 to 7 right here at the GOAT, 46th Avenue and Center Place on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. We'll talk to you next week.